Fun man to talk about. This is the Fun Bro.
Oh yeah. Welcome, Bar Brawlers, to the Bar Brawl, and a Happy New Year. What is the time limit on how long you can say Happy New Year for co-captain Eric Jean?
10 days is about the maximum, and only the first time you see someone after the New Year.
Well, that's a given.
But I guess if you haven't seen someone, you only see them like on the 21st or something, I think it's still okay.
Yeah, I think you can always say it. There was a certain somebody who was whining and complaining that after the first week you can't say Happy New Year, but I think it's nice. I'm Daniel J. Rowe, and I wish you, Bar Brawlers, a Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what day you listen to this. And if you listen to it again and again, every time.
Every time.
Because it is the first Bar Brawl of this 2014.
Mm-hmm.
It is the third annum that we have been recording the Bar Brawl. And it is the 5th time we will be bringing you a podcast full of sonnets.
So it's the year is actually year 3 AB after Bar Brawl.
Year 3 ABP. Because Bar Brawl started in 2009, and so we need to. There's a lot. We'll put a code up on the website, barbrawl.com.
Maybe an app. You can plug in the dates.
So your whole calendar. So thousands of years from now, when a bunch of crazy lit people decide the calendar is going to end, we'll have some sort of a secret code that'll teach you when the world's going to end. Much like the Mayans did when the world ended last year. And before you send me an email, I realized that the Mayans had designed that calendar to just reset and not end. I'm familiar with that. So I thank you to all you doomsday prophets out there for explaining that to me in advance. How were your holidays, Mr. Jean?
They were great. Well, you came over to my mom's house for Christmas and...
And Boxing Day we
and
hung
boxing,
out.
Yeah, Boxing Day we hung out too. It was good.
It was a BBCC. Yeah.
And then a week of nothing.
Yeah.
Because we had conflicting. I had to go to Bard Brawler Nikki's house, and you went to Bard Brawler.
New Year's Eve.
Ben and
Benny
Melissa's.
And Melissa. I didn't go to their house.
Oh, you
I didn't?
Didn't
go to anybody's. No, I wound up in Ganawage. I had maybe a few. Mm. And then I tried to sober up at about 10:30. And then by the time 11:30 came around and people started pouring bubbly and I started lighting off fireworks, it was a horrible night to drive. Yeah. It was really snowy and icy, and I felt...
Yeah, we were happy to be able to walk home.
I did sober up before I drove home, by the way.
We took a cab, and we only waited like 5 minutes for it.
And so, on this cold, cold night, put on a warm sweater or hoodie or terry cloth robe
or pelt.
Blanket. Oh, just blanket
or pelt.
A pelt. And enjoy some sonnets. We actually, the Bard Brawl Journal Zunes coming soon,
yes,
will feature a lot of discussions about sonnets. So look forward to that, and we'll keep you posted. Thank you for everybody who donated to the Indiegogo Go campaign again. You've made our lives better.
And other people's lives better.
And a lot of people's lives better, yeah. We've got some great stuff coming for this journal, by the way. Stay tuned. I've been looking at some of the entries. Some familiar Bard Brawlers, some new. It will be very good.
Yeah.
So, we did sonnets 1 through 17,
mm-hmm,
which is the theme of the Zune. So we'll leave that aside. You can
go
to barbrawl.com and see what we had to say about that. We did 18 to 23 last time.
Mm-hmm.
Are we in a series, or are these all kind of all over the map?
Technically, we're in a series, or the standard interpretation is that there's a very loose story going on. So there's no clear, you know, plot events or anything like that, but that certain groups of sonnets seem to be talking about the same person or people or concerned with the same themes or right. And so we're at this section that we're in now with the sonnets 24 to 29 that we're going to do today. Most of these have to do with sort of poetry or the poems that he's writing as a sort of monument that will withstand the ravages of time and stand as something permanent record of his love for whoever he's writing about.
Right. So, why don't we dive right in? Let's look at Sonnet 24. We like to discuss Bard Brawlers. This is a Bard Brawl. We go pound for pound with Shakespeare, much like the Canadian and Finlandic hockey teams will soon be doing in Sochi Olympics. This is recorded on the day that they released the rosters of the Canadian national team, which caused furor over nothing.
It's too bad they're going to be eliminated right at the end of the round robin, and we're not going to see them on the podium.
Oof. Oof. Okay, prediction. Who, Finland? Hey.
No. Okay. The. I hope not, but I feel that we sometimes have a hockey ego that maybe deserves to be knocked down from time to time.
Well, I think it was done in the World Juniors already, sure. So maybe we've had that, but maybe not. I always sort of...
I trust in Steve Yzerman.
My maternal grandmother was born in Finland, and I have relatives there who I always tease whenever they're playing, and then that last junior team in Finland when we got absolutely destroyed, it was pretty... They were kind, as Finnish people generally are. So when we do the sonnets, there's a different reader for each sonnet. The same readers do read multiple sonnets, but we generally like to have not two in the same line, although there's, I think, a couple here where...
We'd like to mix it up, get different voices and different readings.
So without further ado, this is the first sonnet. It's Sonnet 24, and let's have a listen.
Sonnet 24. Mine eye hath played the painter and hath stelled thy beauty's form and table of my heart. My body is the frame wherein 'tis held, and perspective it is the painter's art. For through the painter must you see his skill to find where your true image pictured lies, which in my bosom's shop is hanging still, that hath his windows glazed with thine eyes. Now see what good turns eyes for eyes have done. Mine eyes have drawn thy shape, and thine for me. Our windows to my breast, where through the sun delights to peep, to gaze therein on thee. Yet eyes this cunning want to grace their art. They draw but what they see, know not the heart.
So that was Erin Burns. First time we've done a sonnet podcast with her. She's actually in Africa.
Ooh.
And will be contributing to future editions of the Zunes Journal.
Mm-hmm.
Very talented journalist and great reader. She said, interestingly, after this is... Wow, sonnets. We only ever did the plays.
Yeah, it's true, eh?
Yeah, and it's either one or the other. Sometimes you'll do like a poetry unit and you'll do sonnets, or you'll do plays, but that's why the Bard Brawl.
Even when we did it.
We do a play and then we do a sonnet.
When we did it with Kevin.
Yeah.
We did one sonnet 138, when we started the class, and then that was it.
That was it. I was really bummed, actually, all year. I was like, are we going to do that again? I like that, but... This one brings back the eyes. We actually talked a lot about eyes and their laser beam type quality in previous sonnet podcasts. This one reminds me of a bookstore, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's a painting store.
You might have seen some of these sort of great painting masters that like to paint these still life images, and then the reflective surfaces would actually have the painter reflected. Like if you had a plate or a glass, and you would see that reflected through it. So it's kind of like that's the sort of feeling I get, this kind of different layered game back and forth, and where you're trying to find where the painter is in the, you know, kind of a Where's Waldo.
What do you make of that? I find the last couplet really sort of a nice, like it's jab, 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 and there's a bit of an uppercut here.
Mm-hmm.
I've been practicing shadow boxing recently.
Mm.
Yet eyes this cunning want to grace their art. They draw, but what they see, know not the heart.
Mm-hmm.
As in, eyes don't understand or eyes are deceiving.
They can just see the surface. that can only draw the surface. So if you have an image of a person, you can try to paint their facial expression or paint them in a certain mood, but that doesn't reveal what they're actually thinking or feeling. I guess is.
I like the line, "Which in my bosom's shop is hanging still." If you told a girl, by the way, guys out there, tell a girl that the image of the girl is hanging in your bosom's shop. Don't use bosom because I don't think they'll get it. Your chest.
It's not a very manly word.
Yeah, chest. Chest. It's a pretty charming line. Of course, if you read, you could.
Your image is trapped in my chest.
That is very much taking Shakespeare out of context, which is one of my favorite things, is to use quotes that don't have anything. All right, well, let's move on to the next sonnet in the series, which is Sonnet 25. It is read by Bard Brawl legend Zoe Baldwin.
I miss her.
Yes, Eric misses her. In La La Land, Los Angeles.
Sonnet number 25. Let those who are in favor with their stars of public honor and proud titles boast, whilst I, whom fortune of such triumph bars, unlooked for joy in that I honor most. Great princes' favorites their fair leaves spread, but as the marigold at the sun's eye, and in themselves their pride lies buried, for at a frown they in their glory die. The painful warrior, famous ed for fight, after 1,000 victories once foiled, is from the book of honor raised quite, and all the rest forgot for which he toiled. Then happy I that love and am beloved, where I may not remove nor be removed.
Zoe Baldwin, I like the contrasting styles. The Erin has a very sort of a softer voice, and she sort of approaches it more kind of gently, and Zoe, who went to Shakespeare camp when she was a kid, she kind of knows what she's...
Well, you can tell because she reads the 10 feet. She reads the iambic pentameter, so she adds raised instead of raised, right?
Right.
So,
And they both work.
Yeah.
That's what I've always liked about listening to people read Shakespeare, and what I've always said is, it's not about doing the Kenneth Branagh of masterpiece theater style Shakespeare. It's just reading it and to hear the different intonations.
It's also just kind of pick and commit, right? Like, it's kind of okay to do the Zoe Baldwin and read it that way, but it's also kind of okay to sort of throw the meter out and read it sort of modern.
Like Terry?
Like, Terry is a... We'll get to Terry in due time.
What do you make of Sonnet 25? How is it different from the previous one?
Well, they're the same in one respect, that the conclusion here is about a sort of more permanent thing, as opposed to the public fame or recognition that is can easily be lost. The sort of rise and fall of fortune that poet is saying that, well, I'm lucky because I've got an eternal love, and of course the love is only eternal because it exists as a object of art, as this sonnet. So it's kind of the same as the first one in the sense that there's also kind of an object that's preserving.
So the one thing that catches me here is the pomp of love, if you will, and then there's that one line right in the middle, "For at a frown, they in their glory die." As if your glory is so dependent on someone else's, those eyes, those laser beam eyes, or the smiles, or whatever. There was a Jesuit monk, I believe, and he, Anthony de Mello, and he just had these reflections, and one of them was on love, and how he compared the love, the way you feel when someone says "I love you" to the way you feel when you see a sunset. Mm-hmm. And how "I love you" is so dependent on someone else giving it back to you, whereas a sunset is a sunset. And this kind of reminded me a little bit of that. The painful warrior, famous for fight after 1,000 victories once foiled, as if like that disapproval, even though you've won
all. It just takes one.
That one jerk is sitting there scowling at you while everybody else is clapping.
Yeah.
So if you want to ruin someone's joy, just be the one person not smiling. And it'll throw it. And actually, don't do that. It's really mean.
It's mean.
Yeah. Use your power wisely. We have Laura Pelliser returned. She was a bard brawl son of Tyr. She's actually been in a couple of the plays. She was in Henry VI, Part 1.
Yeah.
I remember she was the king. We gave her King Henry VI, which is why she probably never came back.
King Henry the Ineffectual.
Sonnet 26. Lord of my love, to whom in vassalage thy merit hath my duty strongly knit, to thee I send this written embassage, to witness duty, not to show my wit. Duty so great, which wit so poor as mine, may make seem bare in wanting words to show it, but that I hope some good conceit of thine in thy soul's thought all naked will bestow it, till whatsoever star that guides my moving points on me graciously with fair aspect, and puts apparel on my tattered loving to show me worthy of thy sweet respect. Then may I dare to boast how I do love thee, till then not show my head where thou mayest prove me.
Duty, wit, knit,
naked.
Naked. Eric, your thoughts?
I like this one, actually. I kind of imagine the image of a young page who doesn't, who's sort of looking to make his way in the world. So he goes to a lord to offer his service and is then dressed by the lord with the household livery and sort of given this appointment and the job, basically. But here, you know, he's basically saying, I can't convince you, so I'm going to hope that by showing sufficient duty, your imagination is going to kick in and make me seem better than I am so that you'll want to, you know, so you'll...
As if he's going about the duty, but not with any wit behind it. Like, he's not bought into it. Which, to use a modern concept, it would be like you become the administrative assistant to some CEO, or you become some personal assistant to a movie star, and you're by them, they kind of dress you, you dress like them, you sort of play their part, but you're not in it, so you're sort of acting the part.
Yeah.
Which I think is something a lot of people could probably relate to.
This isn't actually that different from, you know, being the guy who's there to console the girl when her boyfriend ditches her, and then over the course of many long, painful nights of crying, you progressively become the new boyfriend.
That never happens.
I know.
Okay. That imaginary world that you've just... Don't give anybody, especially people listening to this podcast, any hope in this regard. It's very dangerous, Eric. That's irresponsible. We all know those... We may or may not have been that guy.
May or may not.
May or may not. So, yeah, that's Sonnet 27. Laura, a lot bouncier. She's got that sort of, like, you could almost... Oh, she's happy. It's fun. Let's listen to Sonnet 27.
Sonnet 27. Weary with toil, I haste to my bed. The dear repose for limbs with travel tired. But then begins a journey in my head to work my mind when body's work's expired. For then my thoughts, from afar where I abide, intend a zealous pilgrimage to thee. And keep my drooping eyelids open wide, looking on darkness which the blind do see. Save that my soul's imaginary sight presents thy shadow to my sightless view, which like a jewel hung in ghastly night makes black night beauteous and her old face new. Lo, thus, by day my limbs, by night my mind, for thee and for myself no quiet find.
That was Hannah D'Rozio. She, I believe last we heard her was Sonnet 17 or 22. Maybe both.
In one of the... You'll have to listen to both of those previous podcast episodes on bardbrawl.com.
And leave a comment.
And leave a comment to tell us which one it was.
Weary with toil, yesterday I hasted to my bed. This is a very... It hit me hard. I have many days with dear repose, for my limbs with travel tired, then began the journey in my head.
I have a bad habit of starting the journey in my head before the
Yeah, the problem is that when the journey in my head starts, my eyes don't close and I'm up all night. It's a working man. It's a bit of a working man
This
poem
is
here.
actually a good example of where, like, where you can read the some of the poems following suit, because you can imagine in 26 the speaker is working
Oh,
for the
sure,
person
yeah.
that they love, and then this is sort of them at the end of their shift saying, okay, so after a long day of working really hard for you, I go to sleep, and then my mind continues to work for you the entire time that I sleep. So it's like, but, and that's why, like, it's hard to answer that question whether this is a whole story, because a lot of it just, you can if you want to, but it doesn't necessarily follow that it's the same person, right? That it's the same. But I think it works here at least.
Who grouped the sonnets in this order? Like, how did that come about?
I would have to double check. I don't remember, but it's been this way for quite some time. It's generally accepted. Yeah, people have different theories
Because
and
I've never read anything where they challenge the order or anything like
maybe in
that.
Zunes there'll be something that challenges the
Ooh,
order.
delicious! I like
But
it. And
it's, well, it's at least going back to Oscar Wilde, because if you read the Portrait of W.H., it addresses that,
I do
and
recommend
it's a
reading the
very good
portrait.
read.
It's very, we both read it.
Yeah.
I have it on my bookshelf. Feel free to borrow it from me. Send me a message. Bardbrawl.com. I had a lot of sympathy for this poem. The drooping eyelids open wide, look on darkness which the blind do see, save that my soul's imaginary sight, etc. It just, like, when you're exhausted and tired and you cannot close your eyes and you're just in this sightless view, like, it's great. It's very, and I like that what you said about it following the other one, that person that you worshipped and gave you this job, and then they work you too hard, and now you can't even
Yeah.
see. You're
Well, and
basically
this
blind.
next one too might can be seen as continuing in
All
that same
right.
character, basically.
And as with that, we're returning to Aaron Burns for Sonnet 28.
Sonnet 28. How can I then return in happy plight that are debarred the benefit of rest? When day's oppression is not eased by night, but day by night and night by day oppressed, and each, though enemies to either's reign, do in consent shake hands to torture me, the one by toil, the other to complain. How far I toil, still farther off from thee. I tell the day to please them thou art bright, and dost him grace when clouds do blot the heaven. So flatter I the swart complexioned night, when sparkling stars twire not, thou gild'st the even. But day doth daily draw my sorrows longer, and night doth nightly make grief's strength seem stronger.
By the way, Bard Brawlers, you can check out an interesting website called Eternity Promised. It's by Alan Tarika. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Anyway, he's a contributor to Zunes magazine, and we've been in contact with him. He has a whole theory on the sonnets and what they mean, and it's interesting. It's a pretty well done site. We'll put a link to it on
Yeah.
the Barbell.
Yeah. And you want to get your hands on the Zunes to hear more about this.
Yes. So you were saying this sort of follows 26 and 27. How so?
Well, in 26, he's sort of asking to go to work for his beloved. And then in 27, he's talking about how he works all day for her, and then at night he goes to sleep and his brain continues to work for him, and
Her
then
or him.
her or him, it, they, them. And then in 28, he sort of, it's like he comes full circle and says, okay, well then how can I be happy when I'm sort of denied rest? Like, I can't rest during the day, because during the day, I'm reminded about how far away I am from this person. But then at night, I get that shock of having to wake up and go, oh, I don't have my beloved. It's quite sad.
It is tragic to be so close to someone you love so much, and then to leave them is painful because you're tired of being with them, and then, but it's also pain. Oh, it's very
This is
complex
a, I mean, this is a,
relationship.
yeah, these three together is like a, like, you can see why people still read these and get these, because that's still the way people Not that I've ever been that guy, but
none of us.
But I can imagine about how you know how this is still.
Well, it's because you're creative. You can imagine these things.
Yes.
Mm. It's very grunge. I work for someone that I love but hate because I'm too close to someone I can't have, and I torture myself by doing this. Like, just leave. No, I can't leave because to leave is too painful. To be close is too painful.
Yeah, you need that hope that you want. Maybe one day that person will change their mind. Maybe one day they'll see you in the way you want them to see you, but...
But then when they change their mind, it's not any good. It never works. It's just
pity.
It's all bad.
I mean, I don't know what that would look like.
Well, do we have an uplifting one coming up? I don't know. It's Sonnet 26. Well, at least...
29 is like a famous one, too.
Okay, a pretty famous one read by a famous bar brawler, Miss Zoe Baldwin. Sonnet 29.
Sonnet number 29. When, in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state, and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy contented least, yet in these thoughts myself almost despising, haply I think on thee, and then my state, like to the lark at break of day arising from sullen earth, sings hymns at heaven's gate. For thy sweet love remembered such wealth brings, than that then I scorn to change my state with kings.
It started off sad, but it's happy, right? Right.
It's there's birds, there's singing, there's hymns at heaven's gates. Isn't that mean you're dead?
It's a pathetic happy. I'm defeated. Sorry.
Well, it was more happy.
That's true.
Why is it a pathetic happy, Eric?
Well, it's this idea that, you know, this person feels that everyone's got a better deal, better life, they're sexier, they have more money, but at least I have that thought of that person that I love, so it's like you don't even have the person that you love, you just have the thought of them. And that thought of them brings you hope, which is nice. But it's kind of pathetic because you actually don't have anything.
But it's pathetic in your mind, not in their mind.
Oh, no, pathetic as in having pathos, Daniel.
Oh,
as in being moving and emotional.
I kind of like that because
I like it.
Every single person, this is my opinion, feels like a loser.
Mm.
And like somebody else has something more than them. And to encourage yourself by the thought of joy is something that you can always do, and no one can take that from you. No one can take that overtime Alexander Burrow's goal in Game 7 of the Chicago Blackhawks away from me, no matter how many Roberto Luongo meltdowns in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals there are, because you can keep the... Just to make a random example
totally.
Over the top of my head that I never think about. But... We find ourselves so obsessed with changing what we can't change. Like the last sonnets we saw is him just tortured over things that maybe his own doing, that maybe the situation that maybe he can't get out of, maybe he can't. But then in the end, he's comforted by something that's good, regardless of if he possesses it.
But it's like actually going back to Sonnet 24, the first one that we did in this recording, where he doesn't actually have the person that he loves. He has basically a painting, a memory that lives in his bosom of this, an image
chest.
Of this person. Yes, chest, thorax.
Yeah.
An image
pecs.
Of this person that lives, pecs. An image that lives in his pecs of this person. But the image is enough to sustain all of this outpouring and all of this, like...
You know how in Bar Brawl we go through each act of each play,
mm-hmm.
and we read it cold? Well, we've read it once before in our book club, but we're reading it cold. We haven't studied it beforehand. No one's prepared, I hope, because I sure haven't. And so we'll ask each other questions, and sometimes it gets answered while we're reading, which happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
As we were reading these, we were talking before that, are these grouped in any way, like the first 17 are? And we said no, but... When we just went through them, you could see this really nice bracket
yeah.
of this person shopping in a books or painting store, looking at an image, getting close to the image, never getting it, because mm-hmm. you never get it, and then being tortured by it, being tired, and then in the end, rejoicing at the just the memory of that image. So we're kind of back to square one, but with life in between.
Yeah.
Oh. If you footnote that, if you quote that in one of your papers, Bard Brawlers, I want a footnote, MLA style.
Yeah, we'll be able to spot it if it's not right.
Yeah, and I mean, you can do that. I'm not saying that's the official grouping of sonnets or anything, because yeah. you can always make that happen, but that's kind of what makes it fun, is sort of being able to do that.
Yeah, I think that's really the... They kind of work more like kind of a shifting puzzle image, where you can read it 10 times through, and then every time you read it, you feel that there are different connections or different lines, I guess, or
sure, threads. Like Alan's blog is, he takes it, interprets it, and that's great. And what bothers me more is when people have their definitive answer of, like, this is what it means, and it shifts with whatever is the popular. Well,
in the same school, I'm not a big fan of people who'd like to try to find historical people that need to stand in for the, you know, as if Shakespeare has no imagination, has yeah. no personal experience to draw upon, that he doesn't, you know, it needs to be Lord such and such and Lady such and such, or
yeah, like, which is why Oscar Wilde's book is so clever, because it sort of takes that and twists it, and he's very witty, and the way he plays with, like, this, it has to be this way, and then the not to spoil anything, but things don't work out well for the guy who thinks that way. Anyway, that is five sonnets worth?
Six.
Do we do five? One, two, three. Why am I counting? I'm counting how many sonnets, as if I can't do 24 to 29 equals six. Anyway, that is the Sonnet Podcast. We will next time go on to 30 when we come back to sonnets. We usually do these every two plays.
Yeah.
We come back to sonnets. If you have any thoughts on them, please, our ears are wide open to your suggestions, your theories, anything. Bardbrawl@gmail.com is our email address. You can tweet us at Bardbrawl. Also on Facebook, you can like us and send us messages that way if you like. Or just leave a comment at the bottom of this post. The post is on bardbrawl.com. The link thing is sonnets. Is there any other way to contact us?
Email, Twitter, Facebook, yeah. comments.
The guy on the horse that comes by with the leather pouch to your house, he doesn't come here anymore.
No, but, well, you'd recognize him if you saw him.
You'll know him.
The Renaissance Fair guy? That's, he's actually our mail delivery guy.
And if you would like to, you have a short time frame on this, but if you send us a message as to what play you would like us to do next, we will consider it. We have just one rule, that we have to have done it in our book club.
Yeah. Well, we've done,
which you've done, about like
70 to 80% of the play. So there's a good chance that the play you want read is done.
And if not, we'll send you a lovely thank you in cursive.
That someone else will write.
All right. Thank you for joining us at the Bard Bro. We will be with you again shortly.
Gaze upon thee in the future.